crazy, crazy introduction. A bit too crazy. I wish my wife was here to hear all that. You know what I mean? Like, that would have been awesome for her to get to hear the introduction. Guys, it's good to be here. It's recorded. Just forward it to me. I'll send you my email. Anyway, it's good to be here. The last time I was here was about 3-4 years ago, and I recognized some of the faces. Don't look so gloomy. It's going to be okay. We'll be done in 30 minutes. Can smile. There we go. Thank you, Lord. Right? But ever since then, I was in Korea for 2 years, and it was an experience. I'll throw in some of our adventures as we talking through this course. But currently, I'm one of the leaders in two of the services, our AM2 service, but also our hub service that is for young adults. So hopefully, over the next couple of years, we're going to see a whole lot of you at that hub service. But about a month ago, I was at one of the services, and Pastor Carol, how many of you know Pastor Carol Gosman? All right. She was preaching, and she did an altar call, right? And just in Normandy, who wants to follow Jesus? You know, who wants to know Jesus? And in an auditorium of 600 people, no one put up their hand except for this one lady. Now, I'd met this lady before, and she had her brother and her sister with her that day. So everybody's standing up, and Pastor Carol said, who wants to receive Jesus? She puts up a hand. She's the only lady. Puts up a hand, waves at Pastor Carol, and goes, they need to follow Jesus, right? And I remember laughing at that. But let me tell you this. Today, you will be tempted, as I speak, to go, somebody else needs this message, right? Or somebody else can do this better than me. No. This message is for you. This message is for me. All of us are called to do what I'm going to talk about today. All of us have within our grasp the opportunity to release God encounters. So, this is new technology for me. But since it's a second service, I know where to point to. Good news. All right. As you go, preach the message, the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Now, let's not make the service, quiet. So every now and then, even if you don't know what it said, every now and then just go, just to help me out, because you guys are a bit too serious. The first group of people were like, you guys are serious. So every now and then, I won't mind, just randomly, there you go. Way to work, way to work. All right. As you go. All right, now, what's your name? Jasmine, all right. What is your least favorite thing to do in the world? You don't like running. All right, and what is your most favorite thing to do, or your favorite thing to do in the world is? Dancing. All right, cool. What about you? What's your least favorite?
My chores.
Your chores. You said that from a deep place, right? Your favorite thing to do?
Listening to music.
Listening to music. All right. As you go, right? Whether you're doing something you like, whether you're doing something you don't like, whether you're in a place that you like, or whether you're in a place that you don't like, as you go means no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, preach. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, talk about Jesus. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, share the love of Jesus. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, help people know who Jesus is. You hear me? No matter what it is that you're doing, no matter where you are, you can do this stuff. The problem is we've relegated doing this stuff to just church, right? We like wait until the Friday divergent meeting. We wait until the Sunday service. We wait until, group meetings to try and pray for people, share the gospel with people, tell people about Jesus. We wait for moments like that whilst Jesus has called us to, as we go about life, as we do the things we like, don't like, whatever, we share who he is to the whole world. It says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Now, if I had to come to you, what's your name, my man? Austin. Powerful. If I had to come to Austin, right, and imagine now this room was filled with 100 people, your friends, your family, all the people you loved, and every single person in this room is thirsty, dry throat, including yourself, by the way, very thirsty. And I come with half a glass of water, and I give it to you. And I asked you, okay, so what are you going to do? Here's half a glass of water. What did you do with that half a glass of water? You wouldn't share with anybody? All these guys are thirsty, probably going to die. You know, like, are you not going to share with them? You just take a little bit of a sip, give it to them. But you know it won't reach the 100th person. But you'll just try anyway. So you'll give like 10 and 90 will die. I mean, you won't even pray for it to multiply, nothing like that. You just, sorry?
Use straws.
Use straws, that's powerful. I like the word, use straws. Listen, no matter what he does, there's no way he's going to be able to give everybody that water. Somebody, or not somebody, a whole lot of those people are still going to be thirsty. They're still going to be desperately in need of water. But if I had to stand by the sea, a sea of water, and by some miraculous miracle, it's not salty, but a sea of water, and there's 100 people, how many of you know we can drink until we are tired of water, right? The water is never going to run out, right? It will never run out. Just as the same with God encounters. They never run out. And you see, we might have friends and family who are in need of an encounter with God. No matter what happens, God will never allow his encounters to run out in your life. You might go, oh man, oh, you know, I'm not good enough. I'm not this, I'm not that. I didn't read my Bible today. His encounters will never run out. The only thing that stands in the way of people having encounters is whether or not you are willing to release those God encounters to those people. The water there's no issue with the water. It will always be there in abundance. But are you willing to release those God encounters to other people? Come on now, who said yes? Yeah, you deserve it. Give him a Well done, well done. Okay, what God encounters can we expect? Okay, here we go. First one is miracles. Let me give you a definition of miracles. An extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs. Or better known as absolutely ridiculous stuff happening. That's what miracles are, right? It's like the feeding the 5,000, right? You have these 5 loaves of bread, 2 fishes, multiply, boom. You know, feeding 5,000. Now, I've been in an event where food was multiplied. It was quite crazy. It was quite cool. Yeah, it was very cool. Okay, but I've also had moments when miraculous things happen in my own life. So when I was in Korea, there was a time where we were really struggling to make ends meet. And so we didn't have food this particular day, and we didn't have money to buy food, and we didn't know what to do. I didn't tell anybody. There was no one. I couldn't call my mom in South Africa. Hey, ma, can you just come over? You know, can you just hook me up a little bit? Nothing. You know, the time zone is like 7 hours difference. So they sleeping, basically. Nobody can help me. And I'm with my wife and my daughter at the time, no food. Our landlord, who doesn't speak a word of English, okay, she knows nothing about our situation. One time, on that day, knocked on our door with a bucket, I kid you not, a bucket load of potatoes, right? For me, what a miracle that was. It was a divine intervention. No one had told her nothing. And there they were, bucket of potatoes. Now, we had a whole lot of French fries that week. You know, we just put them in, French fry, roast potato, anything you can think about potatoes we made, okay? And what happened? A divine intervention took place. Nobody was asked or anything like that. This person just rocked up. Boom, gift. Now, I didn't tell the story in the first service, but I'll tell you guys. Quick story about my landlord. It has nothing to do with God encounters, but we'll figure something out, all right? I was in our place, our toilet got clogged. And I mean, I tried to unclog the toilet, nothing worked. And so we called the landlord lady and explained to her, well, she didn't know English, so I just pointed to the toilet. Count out. Take it out. And so she went and she did some other stuff. Clang, 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 boom. Toilet set free. Freely as you've given, freely give, all right? So a couple of months later, the toilet gets clogged again, right? This time she came with one of the neighbors who could speak a little bit of English. But man, she was furious this time. And she was unclogging it, but she was saying stuff in Korean. I didn't understand, but kept on unclogging, shouting. So eventually, I spoke to the lady, her friend, who can speak a little bit of English. I said, "What is she saying?" She looked at me, she said, "She says your poo-poo too big." I was so upset. I was so upset. I was like, "What? How dare you say your poo-poo too big? I pay rent here, you know?" And then she kept on speaking, and she's like, "Oh, no, I'm sorry. She says you poo-poo too much. You poo-poo too much." You know? That was my life in Korea. Anyway, a random story as I was thinking about my landlord. Anyway, we actually didn't know that the drainage system in Korea is bad. So you actually, when you go to the toilet, you're not allowed to put toilet paper into the toilet seat. You have to take the toilet paper, no matter what you do in the toilet, and put it in the bin. Ah, right? Yeah. Everybody said, That's a good place to say there. Anyway, that was for free. Don't worry about that one. So, miracles, absolutely ridiculous things happening, not necessarily the toilet stuff. All right, next one. God encounter, prophecy. How many of you here have ever received a prophetic word or even given a prophetic word? Was it cool or what? What is a prophetic word? What is prophecy? Those of you who've given a prophetic word, what is prophecy? How can you break it down for me right quick? Come on now. Powerful. That's exactly what it is. Let me give you a complicated version of that. It says, a divinely inspired message or prediction, spoken or written, that reveals God's will and desire. What you just said, it's God's thoughts being revealed in human words. Now, many of you know about prophecy. I'm just going to read these two scriptures to you. But if all prophesy and an unbeliever comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all. And the secrets of his heart or her heart are revealed. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. So what's it saying? That when a stranger comes in, when an unbeliever comes in who doesn't know God, when we share a prophetic word to them, something about their lives that we have no way of knowing, when we share that word with them, they go, "Wow, God exists. Man, God is the one who's worthy to be worshipped. God must be alive. God must know me." Why? Because we listened to God's words and we shared them to the other individual about that person. You can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The key thing there is that all of us can do it. This is not meant for the elite. This is not meant for, you know, the perfect individuals, the very spiritual people, or the people with the biggest Bible. It's just meant for everybody who believes in Jesus Christ. What's another God encounter? Healing. How many of you have ever seen a healing take place? Quite cool, all right? Now, is there anybody here who's sick or has a pain in their body? Please don't be shy. It's going to be cool. You have a pain in your body or you're sick. Is there anybody here who has any of those things? Wow, so many of you. What's going on? All right, so we're going to do this. All of you are going to come up, right? And we're going to kind of demonstrate this part by us praying for them. All right? Do you guys mind coming up, all the wonderful people? And maybe you can just sit here a little bit. Just look pretty. It might be hard for my boy here, but it's okay, brother. You can look pretty too. It's okay. It's okay. All right. Oh, quite a lot of you guys. All right. All right. So what is healing? When a pain, discomfort, or disability retains full function, full strength, and complete recovery, right? And so we're gonna go around here with all the guys and see what's happening with them, and we're going to pray for them. But here's what's important to understand. There isn't a voodoo formula to healing, right? There isn't like, hey, if you say it like this, woo, boom, there'll be healing. There isn't that kind of stuff. What there is examples in the Bible of how Jesus did it and how people who followed Jesus did it. And so we can learn from them, but there isn't a formula, right? But what we can learn is, man, when Jesus went about doing his stuff, how he engaged people, how the disciples engaged people, and in so doing, got to a place where they prayed for people, and they saw healing to take place. Now, to believe that there's a formula would ensure that we don't depend on God, right? Because we'll just use the formula. But God wants us to depend on him. Healing is not something that comes from us, but it's something that comes from him, and I know that we all know that. So, here's some of the things that we see in the Bible taking place, right? Asking the person what to pray for. That's very simple, right? You said your name was Jazz? Jasmine. Ah, what a nice name. Okay, it's like, Jasmine, what's up? What's happening with you? How are you doing? As Jasmine is speaking, you know, she shares maybe, oh, you know, my knee sore, whatever. Very simple. Just asking a person what to pray for. Listen to the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Pray for God's kingdom to come. Why do we do that? It's because we understand and we believe that God's kingdom is way greater than our earth, way greater than our kingdom. So God's kingdom supersedes what's happening here on the earth. So if somebody is sick, we believe that God's kingdom can supersede what's happening and that person can be healed. If somebody is broken or somebody is struggling with family, God's kingdom can come and supersede and bring healing and restoration in that family. Take authority in Jesus' name. How does that work? It's us making sure that the enemy doesn't come to interrupt the healing process, that complete authority is in Jesus for this moment that we are praying for. Ask them to do something they couldn't do before. Now, many of us kind of skip this step, right? Because we don't want to be embarrassed. So we'll be like, hey, you know, can I pray for you? We'll do everything. Oh, can I pray for you? Holy Spirit, what you say? Okay, great. You know, let me just pray, kingdom come. You know, I take authority. All right, well, see you later. Take care of that. Yeah. Why? We don't want to be embarrassed. So the lady comes out like, oh, no, I'm still sick. Or, oh, no, Mike. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. It's not us who heal, right? It's God who heals. That's why the last two are very important, that we thank God, right? We thank God when we see healing, but we also thank God in advance for healing that we're going to see later. And if need be, we pray again. Now, first service was a great example. The lady came, we prayed for her. She wasn't completely healed, but she got better. All right, and even after the service, she came to me and she's like, oh no, I can actually walk on it now. It's a whole lot better. And it's a great example of not allowing that moment to intimidate you and be like, oh my word, you know, maybe God doesn't heal. No, 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 God does heal. But he might not do it the way you think he will, but it doesn't mean that he won't do it. Is that okay? So I'm going to get a couple of volunteers. We're going to try and be as quick as we can, and we're going to pray for these guys. You guys ready? So I'm going to ask you quickly just to tell me in one line what we can pray for, and I'll get guys to come pray for you.
Toothache.
Toothache.
I have back pains.
Blocked ear.
Throat. Sore throat.
We can give you water. You, that water guy. All right.
Shoulder and rib problem.
Shoulder and?
Shoulder and rib.
And rib?
My arm is sore.
Your arm is sore. All right. I need volunteers now. Please don't let me pick you out from a crowd. Come on now. I need 6 volunteers. Talk to me. All right. I want to pick you out. Well done. 1, 2, 3, 4. Come on now. 2 more. Yes, 5. 1 more. Come on. 6. This is cool. All right. Do you guys mind standing up and maybe going that side so there can be room for everybody? And then one person to each. The guys who are praying, one person to each person. Who said that? Thank you for that. Help me a lot. So can you go to one person and they're going to each pray for you individually? Is that okay? So Cece, can you go to that guy? And so on and so forth. Make haste, people. All right. She's like, I'm really scared. No, bro. Come stand this side. So you can get prayer for. Okay. Okay, cool. But you guys are not going to be disengaged, right? Please don't be disengaged because you are part of this process as well. We're going to be praying for these people. All right, even new girl. Look at her. She's in there. She's ready. She won't be praying for people. Okay, so everybody who's praying, simple, right? You're going to ask them what to pray for. You're going to listen to what the Holy Spirit say. Now, how many of you think that the Holy Spirit is going to be like, ha, don't pray for this one? Like, no. Just let this one stay sick. I just want them just a little bit longer. No, he's not going to do that. All right? We know the Holy Spirit says he's going to pray. But maybe the Holy Spirit might be speaking to you, encouraging you, like, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Be courageous. Pray. Okay? And then we're going to pray for the kingdom of God to come. So the people are praying, God's kingdom, please come with power. Take authority in Jesus' name. And then ask them to do something they couldn't do before. Okay? Is that okay? So are you guys ready? You guys ready? Okay. You all know what they need, right? You're going to ask. All right. Go ahead and ask right quick. Right quick. Ask. Now you're wishing you would have put up your hand, right? That's right. Okay, now, what's the next thing? Listen to the Holy Spirit.
I am here, says the Lord.
Okay. Now, pray for the kingdom of God to come. Pray with boldness. It's not you who's healing. It's God who's healing. Pray for the kingdom of God to come. Hey guys, you pray too, okay? I know you're just sitting there. Don't watch. Pray. Trust that God will heal these people. You know what's happening with them. Let's pray. While you're praying, begin to just take authority in Jesus' name. All right. Now, ask them to do something they couldn't do before. There's one lady with a tooth. I don't know what she's going to do. But maybe she'll just feel it out and she's okay. All right. Now, just begin to thank God. Just thank God. Hey, man, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. Thank you for healing, the healing that you're seeing or the healing that you're still trusting for. Awesome. There's hugs. I'm assuming that's good news. Awesome. All right. The guys who finished praying, can the people who've been prayed for please come through? You finished praying? All right. Cool. Come through. How are you feeling?
My arm feels better.
Awesome. What was wrong with your arm? Was it just so
here? No. This morning when I woke up, I was struggling to make my arm be back.
That's awesome.
But now it's feeling a bit better now.
Awesome. Give a hand for that. Thank you, Lord. Tooth lady.
It's still a bit sore, but hopefully.
So you just stay right here because for you, guess what? Just like Oprah has cars, we have prayer again if needs be. Okay. What about you?
I can breathe a lot easier now.
Your chest was an issue as well? On your ribs?
My rib, yeah.
And what about your shoulder?
It's feeling a lot better, but it didn't get there.
Great. You also just wait here, Oprah gift?
Great. Throat man.
Is it?
Speak a bit more, throat man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I can say.
No, seriously. Hey, there's no shame to say, guys, nothing has changed. I am still hurting. Are you all right?
Yeah.
You feeling better?
Yes.
It's great. Let's give him a hand. Let's give the Lord a hand. Madam with the back stuff, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling a lot better. It's just a little bit sore in my lower back, but my mid-back was the problem, and it feels like it's like almost gone.
Okay, cool.
Now, I want you to stay. I'll tell you now for a second. What about you, brother man?
I hear strange sounds.
Yes. Hey, that's good enough. That's good enough. Give him a hand. Give him a hand. You can take a seat, my man. Guys, well done. Well done. Well done. Okay, who prayed for these two guys? Okay, won't you come with me quickly? The rest of you can sit down. Well done. Great job. Okay. No, you can stay here. You can stay here. So, just lay your hands. I'll pray for them quickly. Lay your hands on them. We're going to pray again just for these two. We're going to leave the other one. All right, Lord, we just thank you again for your healing. We pray for the shoulder. We pray for this toothache, the rib. We ask you, Lord, for complete healing in Jesus' mighty name right now, Lord. We ask that whatever pain and discomfort, it will go in Jesus' mighty name. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, you bring healing and complete restoration right now in Jesus' name. Just breathe. Test out your tooth as best as you can. Bite on it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, try one more time. Shame, it's a different story for you. Stretch it. Slightly better. All right, let's give him a hand. Thank you. Thank you, guys. You can all sit down. All right. Sometimes when people have back issues, their legs are different from each other. So the one leg might be shorter than the other. Have you guys ever seen that happening? Right? So for you, after the service, I want one person to find out whether one of her legs is shorter than the other and pray for her if it is. Is that okay? Who's going to pray for you? I don't want these people to be nodding, saying, but Jasmine, you have been chosen. After the service, find her, and if her leg is shorter than the other, get a chair, make sure she's even, stretch it out. If it's shorter than the other, pray for her and get her healed, all right? I'll help you. All right, cool. So, we learned about healing, practical example. We're all happy? We know this stuff. You guys have done this stuff. You guys are professionals, all right? But how do we release God encounters on an everyday basis? Naturally, supernatural. How do we do this? First one, we must be led. We must be led. So who's going to lead us? Who do you guys think is going to lead us? Great. We must be led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus has invited us into a relationship 24/7. And the way that we can actually have this relationship with him on a 24/7 basis is that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, being relational with us on an everyday basis. You know, it would be awkward. I've been married to my wife for 6 years. It would be awkward if every single day that I see my wife, every hour, every minute that I'm with her, that I'm not speaking to her, right? That wouldn't be a great marriage. Just like it wouldn't be a great relationship if the Holy Spirit is with you every day and you never speak to him. That also would be kind of a weird relationship. But he's here. He's speaking to us. He's engaging us. We need to recognize, though, how he speaks to us and how he leads us. Before I get to that point, I want to say this. Where does he lead us to? When the Holy Spirit leads us, where does he lead us to? He leads us to his lost children. There's a purpose as to why he's leading us. There's a purpose as to why he's allowing you to do your videos and express who you are on video. There's a purpose why he's allowing you to be great at sport and all the things that you're doing. Why? He's leading you to lost people. He's using you to make a change in the world, right? How many of you have ever seen that advert of the German Coast Guard, right? And so there's this video, and the guy's like, oh, we're sinking. He's new to the job. And the guy's like, oh, we're sinking. We're sinking. And he's like, hello, I'm the German Coast Guard. And the guy's like, oh, we're sinking. We're sinking. And the German Coast Guard goes, huh, what are you sinking about? Listen. If you are thinking about changing the world, you have to release God encounters. You with me? If you are thinking about changing the world, God has provided for us to release God encounters to who? To lost people. Now, I made this example earlier on that if maybe your dad, you know, loves you, but he has lost one of his children. He can't find one of his children. And he gives you an assignment. He says, Jasmine, listen, I want you to go find your brother. I know you don't know him, but he's my son, all right? And I'm going to give you all the resources. I'm going to give you all the money. I'm going to give you Candy Crush. And I want you to go find my son. Here it is. And you go out now. You use your gifts. You use the resources that you have. Why? So that you can bring your father's son back home. That's what this is all about. Evangelism is not some weird thing of like, hello, I'm here with the Bible. We need you to come to church quickly. You know, be saved. No. What it's about is this. It's bringing lost children back to their father. That's what it's about. And if your heart is not turned inside out by that thought, it's going to be hard for you to release God encounters. If you're not compassionate for people who don't know God, who don't know Jesus, man, it's going to be hard for you to release God encounters. It's about us going to the lost and releasing God encounters to them. That was a good place to say, well done, you did well. So, he leads us to lost. Why? Because he loves them. He loves us, but he also loves the lost. Because of his great love for us, Ephesians 2 verse 4, that God allows us to go out into the world and reach his lost children. God does not want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. All right, so as I mentioned earlier, how does God lead us? He uses subtle clues, right? He doesn't force himself upon us, but he leads us with his gentle clues. So things like you can feel it, you can see it, read it, think it, hear it, dream it, experience it. Have you ever had that internal unction, like if you're about to go somewhere, you're like, oh, maybe I shouldn't go this route. You know, you can't explain it. It's not like someone is speaking to you or anything like that, but you just feel this weirdness of, maybe let me not go here, maybe let me go there. Ever had that? Many times, that can be the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Or maybe you're writing an exam, and you know, this is a bad answer. I better, no, false. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's the Holy Spirit. Somebody needs to pray for that lady. There's healing in the room. Can we pray for that lady there? I'm joking. Are you okay? Awesome, awesome. All right, so subtle leadings of the Holy Spirit. All we need to do is recognize them and follow them, okay? What's the next thing, the next pillar that we need to have in order to release God encounters is to be expectant. Be expectant. Expectation is being sure of the thing that you hope for. Now, how many of you, when you have a birthday, or maybe let's even say birthday or Christmas, expect that you're going to get gifts? Yeah, look, everyone's like, yeah, right? Obviously, duh. Like, obviously, we're supposed to get gifts, right? Because why? Why do we expect to get gifts? Because it's, and? We what? We deserve them? You good. You take it to a whole nother level. Why? Because your parents love you. What else were you going to say? You? You sure of it and you get it because you hope for it as well. What about you? It's to honor. It's to honor you because you're alive, man. Your parents are under pressure. Like, better honor, right? Hey, you hit the nail on the head, right? We expect that we're going to get gifts because our parents love us, right? We expect that we're going to get gifts from them because our parents love us, right? Now, in the first service, there was a crazy moment where we went to the slide. I was like, I've been thinking maybe it's a younger version of Boys to Men or NSYNC. But I hear it's One Direction or something like that. I don't know. I don't listen to One Direction. I don't listen to Justin Bieber either. Anyway. But as I mentioned, we expect gifts on our birthday because we are sure that our loved ones will buy us something. Now, if you can expect your parents who love you to give you gifts on your birthday because they love you, surely we can expect God to release his gifts to us because he loves us, right? Are we together? Surely we can expect God to release his gifts to us because he loves us. And being expectant is just as important as being led by the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes we can walk into situations and maybe somebody is sick, but we don't expect God will use us. And that is not a sign of, oh no, we're not feeling courageous. That is a sign of you don't really understand how much God loves you and how much God loves the other person. Because if you did understand that, you would know that there is no way God is not going to release his gifts for that person through you. All right? And so, in knowing that, the third and last point is that we need to be courageous. Stop looking at the pictures behind that word. I know they're cool, but come on now. Be courageous. Now, let me tell you a little bit about myself. I wasn't a courageous kid growing up, right? I always felt intimidated. I always felt like I needed to be like somebody else. I always compared myself to other people, right? Until when I was 16, and I kid you not, when I was 16, got saved, got filled with the Holy Spirit, something changed in me. And all of a sudden, I was willing to step out and be different. Not always follow the crowd, wherever people go, I'm going, but choose to be my own original. And be myself and follow what the Holy Spirit is saying and doing in my life. I was young, didn't really know a lot about all this stuff. Nobody had mentioned these things. But somebody had told me that the Holy Spirit or God can be as, that God can relate to me as a friend relates to me. And so I'd wake up in the mornings before I go to school, because I stayed in boarding school, take like 5-10 minutes and be like, okay, Lord, can you speak to me? Man, can you tell me about my day? Can you tell me what you want me to know? And it's from that stage that I learned how to relate with God. Joshua 1 verse 9 says this, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now, I want you to, I don't know how many of you remember the story of Joshua and Moses, right? Moses was hectic. Do you know what I mean? It's like being Thabo Mbeki after Nelson Mandela. Do you know what I mean? Like, think about that, like, pressure. How is he going to live up to that? You know what I mean? There's no way. It's going to be rough. That's they kicked him out before he finished his term. But some of you might not know that. Anyway, so imagine that Moses would go up to the mountain. He would speak to God. He would go to the tent. He wouldn't just like feel the, you know, the impressions of God, which are powerful and real. But he would sit down with him face to face. And would be like, oh God, what's up? You know? And they would be speaking face to face. This is the same guy who, when he was leading the Israelites, had a pillar of fire by day and a pillar of cloud by night. Listen, that is hardcore. Imagine that. You're walking with the guys, and God is just showing everybody that he's for you. So he sends a pillar of fire just to hang around as you're walking. And guys, are, if anyone doubts, you know, they're like, he's just like... Imagine that. Just chilling. These guys don't... We don't know how, you know, maybe... I don't know where they were carrying clothes or whatever, but these guys were miraculously seeing food drop from heaven. Manna drop from heaven. And that's what they ate. Now, that's hardcore. Now, imagine Joshua, a young buck, following in the footsteps of Moses. Moses is now dead, and God says, Joshua, you're going to lead. Imagine how nervous he was. Imagine how hard it was for him to kind of try and fill into this the footprints of his leader, Moses. And so that's what God says to him. Man, be strong and courageous. But what does he say to him? He doesn't say, listen, your courage is going to come by how much you know. Oh, your courage is going to come by what you have. No, no, no. Your courage is going to come because you know that I'm with you. Courage is knowing that God is with you. Courage is knowing that God is with you. Do you know that God is with you? Whether you're writing your exam, whether you're trying a business idea, whether you are, you know, doing your videos to change the world or whatever it is, do you know that God is with you? Because if you do, you will be courageous. If you don't, you will always shrink back to a lesser version of yourself. And you will struggle to release these amazing God encounters to the world that the world actually needs. Do you know that God is with you? Now, Lord, consider thy threats and enable your servant to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Peter is saying this, and he has just been jailed and threatened and been told, if you dare speak about Jesus again, not only will you be jailed, but you will be beaten. But this is what he said. Lord, consider the threats that these guys are giving me. And enable me as your servant. Give me the courage to still speak your gospel with complete gospel, with complete boldness. In the face of, you know, threats and fear, he was still courageous. We are all afraid sometimes in our life. We are tempted to give in to fear, just like probably Peter might have been tempted to give in to fear. And we stop taking risks in disciple making. See, we are disciple makers, and fear tries to snatch us away from doing what we can do best. But courage comes when we do the right thing, even when we're afraid, when we step out in faith, release God encounters, even when we're afraid. Courage comes when we resist intimidation and fear and obey God anyway. Even if our friends think that it's unpopular, even if Justin Bieber doesn't sing about it, doesn't matter. We are going to step out and do it anyway. Courage comes to us as we are filled and led by the Holy Spirit. Now, this might sound a bit weird, but if you have no clue what to do, just do it anyway. And here's what I mean by that. If you are in a moment whereby, man, here's a person, they're sick, you're scared, you're man, oh, I can't remember, what is it? Oh, do we pray first? Do we pray for kingdom to come first? Or do we start with that authority? You know what I mean? Like, oh, I don't know. Just do it. Just step out and just go, hey, can I pray for you? Can I just pray for you? And just trust God that he will give you the words to speak. Just do it. The best way to get over any form of fear and intimidation is to just do it. Just do it. Just put yourself in a place and just do it. That is the best way to get over it. So, if you could, this is one of the questions, some of the questions that you can ask people. Like as you're going around with your friends and you, as I said, as you go, as you're doing the things that you're doing, these are some of the questions you can ask people that can help you release God encounters. Here's one. If you could wish for one thing from God today, what would that be? Asking your friend that. If you could wish for one thing from God today, what would that be? Are there any sick people here or in your family? What is the biggest problem you or your family is facing these days? And what can I pray for? Let me tell you something. People genuinely don't really care about what church you come from, what you know, how great of a Christian you are. What they do care about is whether or not you care about them. And these questions show them that you care about them. Hey, man, what's happening in your family? Man, are you sick? I didn't see you in school for the last couple of days. Man, are you all right? Is there anything I can pray for? They might not believe in the God that you serve, but they know that you care for them. When I was in Korea, I used to go on campus every day for the first 6 months. And I would endeavor to go release these God encounters upon people. And I would go out. One, people didn't really enjoy me going out because, one, they couldn't understand my language, my English, okay? But another one, I just looked too different from them, okay? There's not a whole lot of black people in Korea. You know what was funny? Whenever in Korea, when you greet somebody who's Korean, you know, you bow, you know what I mean? And whenever I would see a person, whether from Africa or America, black person, would walk past each other like this. And then as we're walking past, we'd be like, instead of bowing, we'd be like the small. It's almost like we're telling each other, yeah, bro, we know. We're in this place together. Just don't bow. Give me a break. Give me a break, right? But it wasn't racism. It's just that they're not used to people that are a different color to them. And I have to admit, man, that was hard for me. That was hard, right? My wife and I and our baby of 5 months, we decided to go to Korea because we heard people your age in Korea have the highest suicide rate in the world. Highest suicide rate in the world, followed closely by Japan. Why is that? Because at this age, their parents and the society forces them to have very high standards in education. Because the population is so big, so the opportunities are quite small. So you need to really be excellent to get to the best universities. You need to really be excellent in order to get a good job. And so every time after the SATs, which is kind of your guys' exams, you see the suicide rate skyrocketing. Why? Because of the pressure. When they don't do well, many of them jump in front of trains or so much so that if you go to Korea now, they have these things that stop you. Like you can only walk into the train if you're getting in instead of like a full open, you know what I'm talking about? The open thing where you can actually just jump into, yeah, platform kind of dynamic. Forgot what it is now. I'm back in South Africa. So you can't do that because they know the suicide rate. And actually, when you guys start school, you start in January, right? Or Feb, one of those two. What they'll do, if school is starting in January, by the end of November, they start pre-lessons for the following year. They go to extra lessons from November, December, preparing for the coming year. Because everybody needs to be ahead of everybody else. I'm not even telling you about the extra lessons that they have to go through as the year is going on. I'm not even telling you about that. That's the kind of pressure I'm talking about. That's why we went there, right? We wanted to be with the young guys and help them out and pray for them. And here I am and being rejected and how painful that was. But I knew that God had led us to the lost children in Korea. I knew that God wanted us to be there. And I knew that it's going to take, you know, asking questions. It's going to take being courageous and being relational with people. So after 6 months of grinding in the campuses, I remember just almost like, oh man, Lord, I can't handle it. It's so tough. And I was in a coffee shop and the guy next to me was trying to learn English or whatever. I said, hey, I can teach you some English, right? And he said, okay, great. You teach me English, I teach you Korean. You know, I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, and so we started having this relationship until he got to a point where he said to me, hey, by the way, I need to go see my mom. My mom is sick. My mom is struggling, whatever. And I said, can I pray for you? He's like, well, I'm Buddhist. I said, no, it's fine. Anyway, I'll pray for you. My mom got healed, and he started coming to our church. Now, for me, that reminded me of, you know what? Just as we are relating with people, people will share their lives with you. People will share their hearts, their concerns with you. And as we pray for them and release God encounters, things will happen. I wanna close by saying these last two points that are written here. You know, in all that you're doing, have fun and give God the credit. You know, don't feel like as you're walking out of here that, oh man, Pastor Mark or the leaders will be keeping tabs or whatever. No, just have fun. Just step out in faith courageously. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Be courageous and expect God to do something and have fun doing it. And give God all the credit because he's deserving of all the credit because he's the one who's using you, choosing to use you to release his God encounters. Pastor Mark, thank you. Let me pray quickly. Lord, I want to thank you for everybody who's here. Their destinies are sure in your hands. I want to pray, Lord, that you would empower them. Empower me as well, Lord God, to be courageous enough to release your God encounters, to be led by the Spirit, to recognize the leading of the Holy Spirit. But Lord, to also expect great things, great gifts, because you are God who loves all his children. Help us, Lord, to do this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.